Can we greet Pastor with a hearty praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Good to see you, man. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Truly, we bless the Lord today. Amen. We thank God for the Resurrection Sunday. Amen. We thank God for all of you that are here with us. And as our minister Simon was saying, we truly encourage young people. The Bible says, remember now thy Creator when? The days that I youth. Amen. So we take it. We take pride and honor in trying to teach and train up our young people in the way that they should go. Amen. So sometimes service may seem long, but isn't it wonderful to know that a child is in here being used by God instead of just sitting home playing games and running the streets? So we bless the Lord and we thank God for that. We thank God for all of our visitors. All you visitors, give yourself a hand praise. Come on, give yourself a hand praise. Amen. Once you walk in on our page, you're no longer a visitor. You're family. So visitor status has ended. You are now part of the family, and we just bless the Lord. We thank God for seeing all these little babies. Amen. We say, thank God for seeing Gene and I forget his name. Joseph. Noah. And Noah. Amen. Thank God for seeing Joseph and Noah and family. Thank God for seeing Brother Deron. Amen. And we thank God for seeing him and his wife and his young lady. Amen. God is good. Amen. I don't know, did I overlook any young babies? All right, well, we thank God for that. And most of all, we thank God for being alive this day and age that we're living in. And we know this is Resurrection Sunday. Amen. How many know if Jesus has stayed in the ground? I said, if Jesus has stayed in the ground, we would have a right to the tree of life. So I'm so glad that death could not hold him down. Can we all say hallelujah? Amen. I thank God for my wife being here, life, health, and strength. And I thank God for everyone else, all those are members in their respective places, the elders, the mothers, the deacons. Amen. Just thank God that you're here. Amen. And you're not battling a terminal disease. I say God is good. But let us stand for our scripture reading. Amen. Which will be coming from the book of Luke, the 24th chapter. So I guess sneaking back in my office and reading my scriptures. While he read my scripture.
Amen.
So I'm going to go back and review the camera. And Steve, you were sneaking in my office. Amen. We're going to read Luke the 24th chapter, verses 1 through 8. Amen. Also, we thank God for the family that traveled with us. They're here all the way from Boston. Amen. Yeah. Brother Elder, the first time I met Brother Elder, I said, well, what church are you a pastor of? He said, no, just for me. He asked me, him and his mother and his sister, mother and sister being with us, amen. Anyone else to travel from afar to be here today, we just honor the Lord. So I won't keep you long, amen. But today is Resurrection Sunday, and we just want to be mindful of the fact that we don't want to just remember Jesus on Resurrection Sunday. Right? The Bible says, one man esteemeth one day above another, and one man esteemeth all days the same. For us to know the Lord, we should esteem every day the same. Every day we wake up with new mercy, we should have a mind to say, Lord, thank you. Amen. So, yes, Resurrection Sunday is important. I know it's more important for the children because we get a week off. Right? And those that are in school, we have to go to school for a week. But we should not esteem it above any other day. But the Bible says that every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. So we just thank God today for Resurrection Sunday. But Luke, the 24th chapter, do we all have it? We're going to start with verse 1. And for those that don't have it, it should be on the screen behind me. If we can start now. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereby, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why in the wrong place. I'm so glad the Bible said God's not dead, he is.
Yes,
yeah, alive. Y'all can preach with
me.
Amen. I don't like the body church. All that stuff. I'm gonna talk back. So if God's not dead, he is. Somebody say I can feel it in my hands. Anybody can feel him in their feet? I can feel him. But somebody said, I want to feel some quickening power. I want to feel some anointing power. I want to feel the Lord moving in our midst. For they are going to a dead place looking for a risen Savior. Don't go to the wrong place. Amen. Don't go to a dead place looking for a risen Savior. So those two angels asked and said, well, who are you looking for? They said, we're looking for Jesus. He's not here, but he has risen. Amen. Now I just want to read a couple of these verses before I give you our message. So verse 6 says, he is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in. Verse 8 says, and then remember his word. Now let's go to John the 2nd chapter. We're going to read verses 19 through 22. Of John the 2nd chapter. So they remember his word. Isn't it amazing how sometimes when we're in the midst of a traumatic or emotional situation, we tend to forget. They were all overwhelmed, they were traumatized because Jesus had been crucified. And in their trauma, in their emotional distress, they had forgotten what the Lord said. John 2:19 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple. And in 3 days, the Lord said, you can destroy it. He said, but in 3 days, he said, I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building. And when thou rear it up in 3 days, but he spake of a house, spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, the disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. So our message today is, have you forgotten the Lord? If we all in church on Resurrection Sunday, but have you forgotten the Lord? Now, to know or to visit or to speak to someone don't mean you didn't forget. Amen. How many of y'all are married? Everybody married? Give me a wave off. Everybody married? You know your spouse, right? Do you ever have one of those special days? We ain't gonna mess with your birthday. I'm just saying, you didn't know. But you can't forget.
Jesus.
I made a mistake one time. And for that anniversary, I said, how many times?
One
time. I knew her, but I forgot. Now, we've been married in June, Lord willing, we've been married 40 years.
Amen.
I said, I forgot how many times?
One time.
One time. Husband, I advise you, don't forget. Like, so you can know, but you can still forget. I know she's my wife, but I still forgot. So today we're all in church on Sunday. So we know the Lord, but have we forgotten him all those other days? Y'all with me? Have we forgotten the Lord? Hallelujah. I often say, my wife often say, you know, God is good to you 7 days a week.
Yes.
How many know God's good every day?
Yes.
If he didn't give you life and health, you wouldn't be here.
Right.
If he didn't wake you up this morning, you wouldn't be here.
Yes.
If he didn't give you a reasonable portion of your life, health, and strength, you wouldn't be here.
Right.
So God gives us 7 days. Lord, we can't take 2 hours to tell the Lord I remember. You know what I mean?
I just remember. Yeah, I had all those 168 hours, but take 2 hours
to tell the Lord I did not forget you. Take 2 hours to tell the Lord I'm grateful. The psalmist said, what shall I render unto God for all of his benefits? If you're alive today, don't you realize God has given you benefits? Don't you realize God has given you blessings? So what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits unto me? I will take the cup of salvation, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. Well, why are you going to call on God? Because he's been good to me. I say he made ways out of no way. Hallelujah. When I see stuff happening all around me, God is a keeper. Does anybody have a testimony that God's a keeper? I say, do you have a testimony that God can make a way out of no way? Do you have a testimony that man said no? Oh, Lord, thank you. But God says yes. So since I have 168 hours in a week, I'm going to just take 2 to tell the Lord thank you. Now that's just a minimum to tell him thank you. Now, if I'm going to just reference this in Deuteronomy the 6th chapter and Deuteronomy the 8th chapter. All right. And I need the specific verses in particular. In Deuteronomy 6 and verse 12 and Deuteronomy 8 verse 11. How do you know that sometimes when you get success, you forget God? All right. When you're in hardship, you pray. When you're in difficulties, you call God. But how many know that when things get easy, when we get blessed, when we get houses that we did not build, when we eat from vineyards that we did not plant, how about eating or doing all these blessings? How many know that sometimes when you receive success, you can forget the Lord? Amen. So the Lord said, beware lest ye forget the Lord. Amen. Sometimes in our prosperity, we fail to realize that it was the Lord that gave us might to get stint wealth. We forget it was the Lord that made ways out of nowhere. Sometimes we think it was because we did so much, but I heard the Lord say, without me, you can do nothing. Since God has been so good to me, I'm not ashamed just to come and tell him thank you. When I wake up in the morning, Lord, I said thank you. Lord, when I lay my head down at night, I said, Lord, thank you. I remember, Lord, because when I watched the news and tragedies and devastation all over the place, I realized it was because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. I realized it because God was good to me. Now, you might be all that and whatever they say. Piece of bubblegum. All that and piece of bubblegum. I don't know what that means. But you didn't do it by yourself. You're not here this morning because of how much you went to the gym and how much you did this. You're here today because God gave you the breath of life. You're here today because when the death angel was trying to take you out, God said,
when I see the blood. He said, I pass over you. A lot of people say, well, that couldn't be so important. Well, Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So if you say, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, when I go down in his name, I get my sins remitted. He says in Luke 24, verses 47 and 48, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in my name. Then Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2 and 38, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the form of remission. So without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So I just choose to go down in his name, because how many want the blood? Come on, how many want the blood? When the Lord sees the blood, he'll pass over you. Well, Hebrews 2 and 1 reads. Now, if we go back to Hebrews, the first chapter, Paul is writing to unsaved brothers. Come on, y'all gotta correct me. He's writing to who? Hebrew brothers. Y'all know I always have to test. Don't just take everything I say to him. If I'm wrong, say no, Pastor, you're wrong. So he's writing to Hebrews. Hebrews were saved. Amen. He's writing to the church.
Amen.
All right, so I'm taking that back. Don't y'all say, Pastor said they weren't saved. I didn't say that. I was testing you to see if you knew. So he's writing to the Hebrew brothers. Amen. And when he wrote to the Hebrews, verse 1 said, God, who is shut Sunday time in the divers manner, has spoken unto us. Right? So what he does in all of chapter 1 of Hebrews, he establishes the divinity of Jesus.
Amen.
He establishes who Jesus is. He establishes the fact that Jesus is the express image of the invisible God. He does that in chapter 1. All right, so it's important to understand that to bring us into chapter 2. So chapter 2, verse 1 reads, therefore we are to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should. Well, the apostles had let themselves slip. Those in that day and age had forgotten what the Lord said, because they had forgotten the Lord. So this word slip, you know, I love God and his word. Because when it talks about slip, I would try to pronounce it in Greek, but I butcher it up a little bit. So you can look it up. In Greek, it means to drift away slowly. Right? So when you don't give heed to God's word, nobody backslides all at once. It's a process, it's a progression. It's a slipping. It's a drifting away. You don't do it at once, and you don't realize it. I used to go to church every time I got a chance to, but because I don't give heed to the word, I let it slip. So I go to church now when I feel like it. When the Bible says we are not to forsake the assembly of ourselves again as a man of some is. You with me?
I told you I can't
handle a quiet church. So y'all gotta talk back to me. So when we let God's word slip, it's not a great progression. Now listen, you can tell when you're getting further away. For instance, I don't know how many of you remember years ago, quite a few times out on the Mohawk River, some guy drowned that could swim perfectly. They could swim. They had a motorboat, and the motor was strong. But they didn't realize they were caught in a current. And what the current was doing was slowly they were drifting back under the waterfall. Right? So it didn't happen all at once, because all at once the guy would just turn on the motor and took off. But when it happens gradually, you don't realize you're in danger until you say, Lord, how did I get in this position? So these men that could swim, these men that had a boat, drowned because they slowly drifted into danger. They were so caught up in fishing, they didn't realize that the current is taking me towards danger. Sometimes in our life, we get caught up so much in the affairs of life, we don't realize the current is taking me toward danger. We don't realize the current So I walk in the door and everybody looks at me and says, well, what's wrong with you?
You're drifting. Y'all with me?
I'm slowly moving from God. So I used to come to church. This is what backsliding is, right? I used to come to church and I love the Lord. So I said, I'm a front row. I was happy to praise the Lord, but now I got in trouble. So I just moved a few more seats back. I'm a Christian. How can we give this man property to the devil?
Don't y'all get no ideas and start looking around at each other.
How can we give his property to the devil? So they were stuck. They didn't know what to do. How can we execute his will and give it to the devil? But the judge, being a wise man, said, this is what we will do. He said, we're just letting fields go to pot. We're just letting his barns and his houses rot. He said, in other words, we will neglect it. And when we neglect it, it'll fall apart. And guess who gets it? The devil. Because when it falls apart, it's good for nothing or no one but
the devil.
The devil. So we have to be aware, lest at any time we let it slip and we neglect so great a salvation. Well, how do you neglect your salvation? You just don't do nothing. You know what I mean? You don't do nothing, so you neglect your salvation. Well, you know, I woke up this morning and my knee hurt. I play football, so I really do have knee hurts. My knee hurts, so I don't feel like going to church. Oh, my knee hurts so bad. Hey, brother, sister, so are we going there? You want to go? Yes! What up to the knee? What up to the knee hurt? You can do it for a worldly cause, but you can't do it for the Savior? You know with me? This is how we neglect. So instead of taking time to show God we're grateful and thankful, we become neglectful. Just like the judge said, just let it go and it will come to nothing. It will rot, it'll fall apart because you're neglecting it. He said, how shall we escape if we neglect what kind of salvation? Lord, thank you for saving my soul. Salvation is great. Amen. Houses and rooms of the land are not important. I'm just so glad today I'm a child of God. Anybody glad you're a child of God? Don't neglect your salvation. Don't allow hard times to cause you to forget the Lord. Amen. So it says, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. For unto the angel hath he now put in subjection the world to come. So God put everything in subjection unto Jesus so that we will remember the Lord. Amen. When I wake up in the morning, I say, Lord, thank you. When I go throughout the day, yes, I got some bad times. I got some emotional hard times. But in everything, the Bible said we ought to do what? I said, in everything, you ought to give thanks. Amen. Because everything we're going through could be that much worse. But God is good. Yes. Hallelujah. How many know it's good? I'm going to close it here in Philippians, the second chapter. I don't want to forget or neglect my salvation. I don't want to slip. I don't want to be drifting from God. A child of God should always tell God, thank you. A child of God should always be willing to enter into his courts with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. We shouldn't want to go the other way. Amen. Every time the church door opens, I just want to be there to show God I am faithful. Well, why do you want to be faithful to God? Because God is faithful to you. So because God is faithful to me, I want to be faithful to him. I'm not going to let it slip. I'm not going to slowly drift away. I'm not going to slowly find myself in a position where I don't have God's faith. Well, Paul writes from prison, Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself a low reputation, and took upon him the form of a Lord, you could have did better than that. Sometimes God needs you to be humble. Amen. He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And because he chose to humble himself, because he chose to honor God, the scripture says, wherefore God has also
the earth.
Everything is going to bow at the name of Jesus because his name has been highly exalted. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is
Lord.
I wonder sometimes, I'm always saying, this is why sometimes people don't mention that the Bible speak to be the Bible.
The Bible says Jesus Christ is who?
Lord.
Behold Israel, the Lord our God is?
Lord.
So if Jesus is Lord, and God is one, then Jesus must be?
God.
That's what the, who said that? I didn't say that.
Right,
let the Bible speak. Stop talking.
Well, this ain't what I heard. I don't know what you heard.
It said, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is
Lord.
When the Lord stood, saw on the road to the master, Saul said, who are you,
Lord?
He said, I am.
I just get so confused. Why don't we let the Bible just speak?
He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. I said all that today to say, we know this is Resurrection Sunday, but have you forgotten the Lord as we all stand? Have you forgotten the Lord? I go to church, you have a wish more than sitting there. Are you still close to the front? Are you getting closer and closer towards the back door? Are you, do you testify every time there's a chance to praise God, or do you get caught up in your circumstances? Beware lest you forget the Lord. We have to keep God first in our life. So today is Resurrection Sunday. So you will praise the Lord today. My question is, what are you going to do, Lord willing, tomorrow? What are you going to do the next day? Amen. Because we should esteem every day the same. Don't let God's word slip. And don't